This episode of RHR was brought to you by Unchained. Unchained is here building out the financial services platform for Bitcoin Standard. Their cornerstone product is their Vault product, a 2 or 3 multi-sig Vault where you hold 2 keys. Unchained holds 1. This is a collaborative custody model. They're expanding the offerings for their Vault where you can hold 1 key and you can delegate keys to other institutions. You can hold no keys if you're an enterprise level. They have a lending desk as well. You can use Bitcoin as collateral. If you're a business, to get out a U.S. dollar loan. They have an IRA product. If you want to roll your fiat IRA into Bitcoin, Unchained makes it very easy. They're expanding their product offering every day. They have a trading desk if you want to buy large sums of Bitcoin and send it straight to cold storage, multi-sig cold storage. They make it very easy. Go to unchained.com, set up a call with their consultation team today, their concierge service team. Use the code RHR for $50 off that consultation. Unchained.com. Use the code RHR. This episode of RHR was also brought to you by good friends at CoinKite. They make the best hardware in the space, including this block clock, which is right behind me. Their hardware wallets are the best. I use the Cold Card Q. It's been my daily driver for many months now, and I think it is the best hardware wallet on the market. It is a beautiful form factor. Looks somewhat like a BlackBerry. It's got a battery pack. You never have to plug it into an internet connected device. However, it is QR code and NFC compatible. It's got a QR scanner and an NFC compatible device in it. They just pushed push TX functionality to the Cold Card Q firmware. Actually happened yesterday. And so now if you want to construct and sign a transaction on the Cold Card and then broadcast it via NFC and mempool.space, you can do that with your phone very easily. Best hardware in the space. Go to coinkite.com, pick up a Q, pick up a Cold Card MK4, pick up the SATS cards, the tab signer, the block clocks. If you want the best hardware, go to CoinKite.
You've had a dynamic where money's become freer than free.
If you talk about a Fed just gone nuts, all the central banks going nuts.
So it's all acting like safe haven.
I believe that in a world where central bankers are tripping over themselves to devalue their currency, Bitcoin wins. In the world of fiat currencies, Bitcoin is the victor.
I mean, that's part of the bull case for Bitcoin.
If you're not paying attention, you probably should be.
Back in the saddle, back in Austin, Texas. Summer is over. It's time to get to work, freaks. We've got a world to save. Look at that background, Matt. I thought it was fake when you first came on.
The background is real. You can tell by the wind noises.
It looks beautiful.
Yeah, I'm on a little bit of a family road trip right now. Got the 3 dogs, the kid and the wife, packed up the truck. And we're enjoying this great country.
It is a great country. It's a country worth saving, a country worth fighting for. Country worth bringing sound money and freedom tech to. That's what we're here to talk about today, because it seems like we're at a critical inflection point. One way or the other, the world is getting extremely censorious. Got a lot of topics about censoring across the world this week.
Censorious is not a word.
I just made it up. It is now. Put it in the dictionary, freaks. Hit up Merriam-Webster. We found a new word, censorious. Is it a word?
New term has been coined.
No, censorious is a word. But it means severely critical of others. It doesn't mean what I was thinking it meant.
Well, at least it's a word. We got that going for us.
Maybe you could extend it, extremely critical of others, critical of their speech, to the point where you want to censor it. Yeah. Feels good to be back in Austin, Texas. It's lively here in the comments. Just hopped out of a half an hour conversation with Tur Demeester into the studio. Before that, talking to Parker Lewis about Noster. Do we want to address the Parker Lewis Noster hate to start the show?
I think he's just got to put more work in. His current takes are retarded.
I didn't say it quite as bluntly as that, but I said I think you're misconstruing a few things here.
He's I don't want him to become the Taleb of Nostr. So it's all love, Parker. But yeah, just do better.
I see where he's coming from.
See where he's coming from, then let's argue for him if you want to.
I don't argue. I think he's very worried about the state of free speech in the United States. He thinks effort should be put into backing Elon in his fight to preserve free speech via X.
We have Elon's tribulations all throughout the list. So we'll be talking about at length. I just still don't understand the cognitive dissonance to argue that Nostr can't scale, but the alternative is we should just use a platform that is completely centralized and controlled by a single individual. Just doesn't make any sense. It just logically does not flow. I don't think it's a strong or valuable argument.
Neither do I. We don't have to belabor it. We're going to talk about X's problems and free speech in general. But before that, we haven't done it in a couple of weeks. We're going to get the Clark's dashboard. Not officially a dump yet, only 23.3% below all-time highs, but we're sitting at 56,590 cuck bucks. A little dump this week. A little dump. Not an official dump, a little dump. One cuck buck's going to get you.
It's only an official dump when Marty smacks his gavel on the table and says it's a dump.
Gavel's still on the table. I have not picked it up to smack it back down yet. One cuck buck's going to get you 1,767 sats, still above $1 trillion market cap, sitting at 1.12 trillion. We are at block height 860,038. We are currently 794 blocks away from the next difficulty adjustment, which is estimated to be on September 10th. So that is 5 days from now, which would be next Tuesday. As of right now, it's looking like a 4.1% upwards difficulty adjustment. More hash rate is coming onto the network, despite the fact that hash price is sitting around all-time lows. Blocks been coming in at 9 minutes and 36 seconds on average since the last difficulty adjustment. There are currently 176,213 transactions in Clark's mempool. If we go over to mempool.space's mempool, they have 271,601 transactions. More endowed this week than Clark's mempool. That is the state of the network. I'm trying to think of anything else I want to mention. We don't have it on the list, but remind me while we're talking about hash rate, difficulty adjustment, Bitmain did release specs for a new ASIC this week that I do think we should touch on because they are pretty incredible, if true. Maybe incredible is not the right word. Impressive might be a better word there. A hydro unit. We'll talk about it later, though. What are you laughing at?
My dog, they're just going crazy in the background right now. I'm muted. I think someone just walked by.
You haven't trained your dogs not to bark at people walking by?
Good dogs should bark when there's a threat.
You assume everybody's a threat? I don't want to live in a world where you have to assume everybody's a threat. Is what we're teaching people?
I mean, they should alert us to. They should alert us to people approaching.
Okay, I'll take that one. To the list, we alluded to it. Big week. The judge. Do you understand what's going on with the Supreme Court running things in Brazil? It still has not. I mean, I've known about it for months now, but it still is perplexing me how a Supreme Court judge has this much power in Brazil. So, Brazilian Supreme Court Justice Alexandra de Morales, I believe, suspended Elon Musk's social media platform X in Brazil after Musk missed a 24-hour deadline to appoint a local representative. X's clashed with the with De Morales over the refusal to block users as ordered. He wants the judge wants users that are basically exhibiting speech that is against the official word coming from the Supreme Court in Brazil. They don't like people pushing back with ideas of their own, so they want them censored. Elon's taking a staunch stand saying, no, we're not going to do that. People should be able to talk. And now they're getting kicked out. Over the last couple of days, Elon and X have alerted all their employees to leave the country. I believe the Brazilian government has also come out and said they're going to confiscate Elon's assets, not only as it pertains to X, but with SpaceX as well. And so things are heating up over in Brazil.
I don't know how his legal structure works, but it's Starlink, not SpaceX. I mean, Starlink might be a part of SpaceX.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that is a theme that we've discussed in the past, right? Which is that Elon has a lot of business interests, particularly Tesla and Starlink, that depend on accessing global markets. You know, Brazil is a massive fucking market. And when you have something that's centrally controlled, like, pressure will be placed where that central control is vulnerable. And in Elon's case, it's his businesses, and it's their bottom line. So, I mean, we're seeing the Brazilian government now pressure Starlink, seize Starlink assets. Elon's first response was, you know, his bank accounts were frozen there. So he just said, if you had Starlink, you don't have to pay anymore because I can't charge you. So you just get free access. But I'm not going to censor Twitter. I'm not going to censor X. But he's since backtracked. I saw that now if you're a Starlink user in Brazil, you can't access X, which is an interesting example of what kind of pressure you can place. There's a couple things here. Obviously, you know, a lot of people have been saying, like, Nostr fixes this. Nostr doesn't obviously purely fix this. I mean, I think Brazil's main goal here, and I don't pretend to understand how their Supreme Court works versus their president or whatnot. They seem to be very aligned, right? It's like whatever the executive wants is what the Supreme Court's doing. So you can kind of just assume that it's that is the president's doing, basically. It's just like, how do you make it happen? The goal here is to silence large, publicly known Brazilian opposition voices, right? And Nostr doesn't inherently fix that, because this is not really a technical, this is not a technical fight. This is, you know, you can get around Brazil's ban by just using a VPN or Tor. You can, you know, use Mulvad, IVPN, Proton VPN, and a lot of Brazilians are doing this. This is one of the things that is particularly beautiful about Freedom Tech, is when you put the pressure on, users that have a need will figure out a way to get around it. So there's a lot of education that's going on in Brazil about how to get around to ISP blocks, internet service provider blocks, with VPNs and Tor. So you can do that and easily access X. But if you're a large opposition voice in Brazil and you technically get around it and then just send the tweet, like, they can still see you did that and they can punish you accordingly. They can hit you with fines. They can hit you with jail time. They can go after your family. They can go after your businesses. And Nostr doesn't fix that aspect. Now, the big concern with X is this increasing push to identity verify all users. Especially big accounts. And what Nostr does solve is this ability to create accounts without permission that are not linked to your identity. So as Nostr starts to hit scale and more people use it, I expect that we will start to see NIMs, people that are not associated with their legal identity, that don't have personal information attached to their Nostr accounts, have larger and larger audiences, and they will be incredibly robust against this type of action. And that's where you start to see Nostr really improve the situation in terms of online speech.
Agreed. And I think that's actually Parker's main argument. It's like, hey, there are no technical solutions to this autocratic.
No, but there are.
Attack. There are, yes, there are ways around, but, like, I think he's like, this is more of a social problem that we really need to focus on, which is we need to push back against these despotic leaders who want to curb free speech and basically push people into a dystopian future. And particularly, not even X, talking about the satellites, what's it called? Starlink.
Starlink.
Like this is I'm bummed that Elon cucked, because I mean, does Brazil have the military and space force capacity to shoot these satellites out of the sky? I don't think so. And this would be a perfect opportunity. I mean, we've talked a lot about the sovereign individual thesis and Balaji's network state thesis. Like, this would be a pivotal moment for private industry to prove it has much more leverage over the state than the state would like to believe, where it's just like, no, we're going to keep the satellites going. We're going to stream internet to your people and they can use it. And there's literally nothing you can do about it.
What you can do about it is you can seize Starlink bank accounts. And that's what they did. They're not going to shoot satellites out of the sky. And they were very successful by putting that piece of pressure on. And Elon knows that people can still use a VPN to get around it. And Elon knows that it's really focused on the large accounts. So
what is the cost? What if they're just streaming internet though? Like, is there an ongoing OPEX for more people that use it? Or if it's going to be flying over that part of the world anyway, like, is it a cost to them to, I don't know. It could be.
Presumably he has large amounts of money that are locked up in Brazilian bank accounts. I mean, ironically, like, Bitcoin would help him in this situation. He has yet to really see the full use of Bitcoin. I don't think he quite understands it. But just to go back to Parker's take that he's getting rightfully shit on for on Noster. Because I don't see how people are talking about it on X.
I think you need to preface all of these attacks with we love Parker.
No, I have already prefaced that. And also, Parker, like, happy to come on Sail Dispatch. Like, we can hash it out live on air. Or we could have Marty. Marty can be the marriage counselor if you want. Like, he could be the mutual's common ground. First of all, he started off his tweet with, I hope Noster succeeds, but, and it's like, okay, it's like, well, why don't you actually do something about it? Like, you're not even active on Noster. Like, you can push your weight around and you can be involved in us building out Noster. Like, you can be part of the inevitable solution here. So that just like the half-assed, just like throw away comment of like, I hope Noster succeeds, but, and then proceeds was a little bit
disingenuous.
Yeah, it's a little bit disingenuous. And then the second piece was like, his argument was like, oh, the apps will be banned. And like, there's a distinct misunderstanding of Noster as an open protocol and apps as open source clients that can interact with this protocol without trusted third parties. That rings exactly like someone who would say Bitcoin will fail because Apple will block the apps, which is a fucking retarded claim. And on Noster, it's similarly retarded.
Did you see the email I forwarded you last night about cursing?
I want to see him do the work. Yeah, we're going to have a freak release a censored version of Rabbit Hole Recap that just bleeps all these things out. I think it's a good idea. But I'm gonna keep cursing at least until my children get older.
The app stores. You were on the app stores.
Yeah, I interrupted the app stores. I mean, it's not a strong argument. So first of all, I would like to see him be the change he wants to see in the world. I mean, he's also heavily involved in Zaprite, which, like, if you're just going to completely dismiss the idea of key reputation and an open social graph and you have a invoicing business that runs on a Bitcoin standard, I think that's foolhardy. And I think that a lot of work can be done on the Zaprite side to kind of embrace the Noster movement. But second of all, just as an individual who a lot of us want to hear from and communicate with and have discourse with, like, use Noster, be part of that future. And it doesn't have to be exclusive. You can still, I don't know, like, throw your weight behind Elon. Not that I really think that makes any kind of difference. And you can hope Elon will save you. You can do that at the same time. But I don't think that this world that we're entering is going to be solved by a single benevolent actor. And I would also argue that I don't think he's a single benevolent actor. Like, I don't think he's coming from a place of benevolence. But I'm willing to put out there that maybe he proves me wrong. I would hope he proves me wrong. I would remind everyone that the CEO of X that he appointed is top WEF official, Linda, what,
Yacarino?
Yeah.
Yacaro.
And I think a lot of this is just a fucking psyop. But I would be happy to be proven wrong. Like, it's a better world if we have X actually stand up for free speech. I just think it's, he says one thing, he does the other. And meanwhile, he's doing mass identity verification on people that really put us all in a much more vulnerable position when you're talking about being robust against free speech.
Agreed. It's going to take a Herculean effort.
But I just want him to do the work. He's not doing the work, and that's fine, but then don't comment on it. Or comment on it, but we're going to tell you it's retarded if it's retarded.
No, but it does feel like... I'm not going to tell him not to speak. It does, again, it may have come off like I was joking in the opening monologue of this, but it does feel like we're at this critical inflection point, not only here in the United States, but globally, where the powers that be are losing control. People are fed up. You're having all these populist movements pop up for myriad reasons, whether that's inflation, immigration, just despotic laws coming to be, particularly in Brazil, overt socialists taking over governments, and people are rightfully standing up and saying, I don't want this. And the reaction from the power structure is shut the fuck up. Sorry for cursing. And don't complain. Like, this is what's happening. And it's coming, like, particularly here in the United States. Logan, pull up the primal link that I put in the show. I mean, this was Kamala Harris, I believe it was last night, at a union meetup somewhere in America on her campaign trail, like, just overtly saying that she wants the DOJ to pressure social media companies to censor, quote unquote, hate speech and disinformation.
And we'll put the Department of Justice of the United States back in the business of justice. We will double the Civil Rights Division and direct law enforcement to counter this extremism. We will hold social media platforms accountable for the hate infiltrating their platforms, because they have a responsibility to help fight against this threat to our democracy. And if you profit off of hate, if you act as a megaphone for misinformation or cyber warfare, if you don't police your platforms, we are going to hold you accountable as a community.
Yeah, and so this is basically a veiled threat to go after Section 230, which labels these social media companies not as publishers, but as platforms. Individuals are publishing on these platforms, and if you remove Section 230, then you can effectively go after these platforms and force them to censor their users. And so, again, this is an overt attack on free speech and the typical boogeyman words, hate speech, disinformation, misinformation, are being rolled out, and there's no such thing. And it is undeniable, particularly in the lead up to this election, that there has been a lot of vitriol being spewed on platforms like Twitter, Facebook, and others, and it's uncomfortable. It's not always pleasant, but that is one of the products of free speech, is people can say whatever they want, no matter how bad it is. And we live in a time and age where that is being used as a basically bargaining chip by despots who are saying, oh, you can't say these hateful things, you're hurting people's feelings, we need to take away your speech. And that is a line in the sand, particularly here in the United States, that needs to be drawn and aggressively called out. And I'm sure some of you have noticed, but I've been on a tip of calling out Kamala, particularly because I think she is an overt Marxist and would like to throw us all in the gulags if she gets into power. I think it's the rhetoric that she's spewing is extremely scary.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree. And I think Nostra is a part of the solution.
I agree. You're acting like I'm the one taking Parker's position. I'm not. I completely agree.
No, I appreciate the amount of time and energy you have put into Nostra, Marty. Thank you for being part of the solution. And to all the Elon stands out there, like, I hope you're praying for Elon. Because he is going to be completely under the gun, has been, and will continue to be. And as the world's richest man, there are a lot of levers they can pull to pressure him. I do not think a single, I don't think the world's town square, I think the world's town square, quote unquote, is too important to be controlled by a single person and be a central point of failure. I think speech is too important for that. I think not Noster is a key part of the solution. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's not Noster. I strongly believe it is. But I think no matter what, the way we solve speech on the internet, the way we improve individual rights is through open source protocols and open source software. It's not begging people to protect our rights. We have to take them and we have to defend them rather than ask for permission.
Completely agree. And clips have been floating around on Twitter of your conversation with Jack during Nostriga, and he made that point too. Not only should we not want one man in control of the town square, but that one man should not want control of the town square either, due to all the pressures that you just described. Like, why would you want all of that pressure? Like, we have the capability and the technology to separate that power from the tech. And
because you realize why, right? Because it's not about free speech. It's about control and ego.
Yeah.
And he's not going to give that up. I, once again, love to be proven wrong, but I also like to, I call it as I see it. And I just think you're a fucking dumbass if you think that he's ever going to give up that control.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's got billions of dollars on the line. So if he gives up control,
he didn't buy Twitter for profit. He didn't buy Twitter for free speech. He bought Twitter because he was like, holy shit, I can own the quote unquote world's digital square and have complete control over it.
Yeah.
That's why he did it. Straight up.
So he would say, hey, we need to bring back free speech, take a private. But I see Bitcoin in the YouTube comments saying, hope you're okay, Marty. I'm doing fine. I don't know if it seems like I'm off here or something happened. I'm great. Life is great. Great summer. Family's happy. I'm happy. Back in Austin, back in the saddle. Feeling very productive this week. Thank you for asking. Or thank you for
Marty,
voicing,
I hope you're all right.
Voicing your concern. I don't know if it was concern or it's just like a friendly, hope you're doing okay, Marty. This rep of RHR was also brought to you by our good friends at Stack. Stack is a cloud sourcing platform that combines the power of humans and AI to make it easy for you to complete complex tasks as a business. They are currently looking for a technical product manager for their coding bounties program. So if you want to go stackwork.com and apply for this job, I would highly do it. Paul and team at Stack are building one of the most incredible and exciting products on the market right now. If you listen to Citadel Dispatch or TFTC with Carlino from Digital Witness, he explained how Digital Witness used Stack to confirm the results of the Guatemalan presidential election last year. And Stack basically enables you to put out all these tasks. In the case of Digital Witness, they had combination of AI and humans complete tasks to prove that votes looked a certain way and said a certain thing, and they got paid out in Bitcoin for it. So they're looking for a technical product manager for their bounties program. So go check them out. Stackwork, that's stackwork.com. Vulnerability update coming from YubiKey. So older YubiKeys are vulnerable to sophisticated cloning attacks. This report dropped earlier this week. A popular FIDO-based hardware token, which is the YubiKey 5, makes it vulnerable to cloning if an attacker gets temporary physical access, researchers revealed Tuesday. The attack requires $11,000 in equipment and advanced electrical and cryptographic knowledge, likely limiting it to nation state or similar entities in targeted scenarios. The risk of widespread attacks is extremely low. YubiKeys with firmware before version 5.7, which was released in May with a custom crypto library, are vulnerable. So if you're not on running version 5.7 of YubiKey, you may want to upgrade. Firmware updates aren't possible. Actually, you can update because they're not possible. So affected YubiKeys remain permanently at risk. That's what reading the release notes on the go does to you.
Yeah, I mean, I think the single biggest takeaway here, so YubiKey, to those who are not aware, is often used for physical two-factor authentication. So you plug it into your computer, and that physically needs to be plugged in your computer in order to access important accounts. The big takeaway here is, no matter how secure you believe your hardware is, if it's important, you should always prioritize physical security, not let other people have access to it, period. Every other precaution that a hardware manufacturer takes in terms of keeping it secure, even if a malicious actor has physical access, should be considered, you know, secondary, like gravy on top kind of security. It's incredibly important that that's the case, because there are many cases where you can't protect against physical access, where someone is going to get physical access regardless, and you want that hardware to be secure in that situation, or as secure as possible. But still, your priority, and this is very relevant to Bitcoiners with hardware wallets, hardware signing devices, you want to keep that physically secure, first and foremost. Everything else is additional precautions on top of that.
Yeah. So be aware. Be aware if you're using YubiKey. Try to keep your device physically away from state actors with equipment and electrical infrastructure that could clone your device. So keep it in your pocket if you can.
I would think another takeaway here is just how paranoid Bitcoiners are compared to just traditional security manufacturers. And part of that is because, like, if you're trying to secure generational wealth, the stakes are way higher than rotating a two-factor authentication key. The incentives are just very much aligned. But in this case, for instance, the YubiKey has a single secure element, and the latest generation cold cards have three secure elements. So the idea is that if one gets compromised, you still have to compromise the other ones. But yeah, security in depth, understanding your threat model, protecting your hardware from physical access, not sharing it around, not handing it to other people. These things are important. And that's why we front loaded it on the top of the top of the list.
Be aware, freaks. Be aware. Next up on the list, Mutiny Wallet shutdown timeline has been announced. As you all know, we discussed it on this show about a month ago. Mutiny announced the shutdown of its wallet service. It will be removed from the app stores and the web by December 31st of this year, so New Year's Eve. So Mutiny Wallet users need to move funds out and close open Lightning channels. It supports sending to Bitcoin, Lightning, and Fediment wallets. Users can self-host Mutiny or the one-click install on StartOS. The project will continue as open source code. You can also transfer any eCash balance to the Fedi app with low fees. If in the same federation, a self-hosted version can still act as a Fediment wallet. The Mutiny team isn't going anywhere. We care very much about the need for the strong data privacy and are working on novel security tools for developers across the ecosystem. Privacy UX needs an upgrade for users and builders. If you're an app dev, please reach out to the team so that you can chat with them. That was stated in the blog post. And I can say, having talked to the Mutiny team, I'm excited for the direction that they're taking the company, particularly around the security tools that they're going to bring the developer community. Really cool what they're working on. I don't know how much we're allowed to talk about it, but I'm excited.
Yeah, I mean, I think I can second that. It's important that if you use Mutiny, you understand what this timeline looks like. No funds are at risk, and you can self-host going forward. Because you can self-host it, someone should let Parker know that it doesn't matter if someone tries to ban that app. You can just run it yourself and interact with the protocol directly.
Shots fired. Bull Bitcoin, this is pretty big, announces a launch in France. Mobile wallet version 0.3.0 has also been released. So Bull Bitcoin, historically confined to the borders of Canada and Costa Rica, is expanding their reach to France, which is good to see.
Yeah, I mean, this is badass. Like, Bull Bitcoin is one of the best Bitcoin brokerage services available, period. But historically, it's been only usable for Canadians and most recently Costa Ricans. So it's great to see them launch in another jurisdiction. Now being in France,
Yeah, the people of France need it too.
And then secondly, they released this mobile app, which goes along this trend of, I haven't used the app yet, but this trend of using liquid Bitcoin at rest and then doing swaps for Lightning. They also have this UX, which is really interesting. At least I saw from screenshots. Like I said, I've been on a road trip. I haven't got to actually use the app yet. But where that, if it's at rest in liquid, it clearly says like, this is your Bitcoin spending wallet. It's like your instant Bitcoin wallet. And then your long-term savings are held on chain as proper Bitcoin, because liquid is federated and there is a non-zero rug risk there. Ultimately, you do require permission in order to use liquid. I mean, you have to hope the federation's online. So, I mean, I like that UX. I like that idea of making it clear to users, this is your instant wallet. This is like almost your checking account, and this is your savings account. We on the design and UX side, there's still a lot of work to be done on Bitcoin tools. And I feel like this is a massive step in the right direction. So, I mean, huge shout out to the Bull Bitcoin team. They've done great work over the years. They continue to do great work. And just good to have them as part of the movement.
Yeah, and I don't think we ever release the conversation that me and you had with Madex in Nashville, and due to Chatham House rules, we won't.
We did not. It was off the record.
It was off the record. But we did talk.
The best conversations are the lost tapes.
Yeah. And I think this is open source, so we can talk about it, but I think it's very underappreciated, the open source node infrastructure tools that the Bull Bitcoin team has built over the years, Cyphernode particularly. So that is essentially how they operate their backend and interact with the Bitcoin network, and they've open sourced that. And from what I understand, it's like one of the most powerful backend node infrastructure tools. So if you're running a company and you're interested in not having to build from scratch, definitely look into Cyphernode, the project that the Bull Bitcoin team has spearheaded for, I believe, 6 or 7 years now.
It's fully open source. You can run it in-house because it's important that companies have their own in-house infrastructure. And it doesn't matter if they try and ban the app, because you can just self-host Cyphernode and run your own infrastructure and interact directly with the protocol.
Is that bee bothering you?
It just wants to be part of the stream. It just really cares about freedom tech. Yeah. I also wanted to, while we're going on about love for Parker, everyone should pick up his book, Gradually Then Suddenly. It's a book about Noster adoption. I think it's really a compelling book.
Buy the book. Go to thesafehouse.com, T-H-E-S-A-I-F, house.com. Buy the book. Use the code TFTC. You'll get $5 off Gradually Then Suddenly. I wrote the foreword. Foreword's probably the best part of the book. Audio version coming soon. Audio version coming soon. I don't know if I just ninja launched that announcement, but sorry, Parker. Speaking of freedom tech, moving down the line, this was really cool to see this week. They've announced that they've been playing around with it, but yesterday Strike came out with a blog post and made it official that they officially support sending payments to Bolt 12 offers. So for those of you who are unaware of what Bolt 12 is, it is an upgrade to the Lightning Network that would change the invoicing UX from Bolt 11. Bolt 11, when you invoice people on the Lightning Network now, and you do it with Bolt 11, you have to click an amount, show a QR code, send. It's one time only. Bolt 12 would do multiple things that would enhance the UX privacy and censorship resistance of invoicing on the Lightning Network. So with Bolt 12, you could have a static QR code that you could receive to multiple times. You don't have to put in an amount and receive that way. If you're a band playing at a bar and you want to put your Venmo, your Cash App QR code, now you can put a Lightning QR code and receive tips over the Lightning Network more privately. It uses a combination of onion messaging, which helps with censorship resistant, not dependent on HTTP to do the messaging between nodes to facilitate the transaction. And then the other part of it, which is escaping me right now, Onion messaging. What am I thinking of? The routing. What's it called in the routing?
I don't know what you're referring to.
Blinded pass. Blinded pass. That's what it is. So blinded pass are what bring the privacy aspect to it.
Blinded pass is like this idea that you have more privacy from the routing nodes in between you and the receiver.
Yes.
I mean, huge shout out to the strike team here. They worked very closely with the guys at Spiral and LDK to get this out. They were heavily involved in the process. And the reason why this is so important is because as much as I'd like to see, so this is specifically to pay Bolt 12 invoices, right? Pay Bolt 12 QR codes. It's incredibly important that Strike gets this out ASAP, and they have gotten it out ASAP, because as much as I would like to see people using self-custody, no KYC Lightning wallets, from my experience, particularly at Bitcoin Park, where we accept Bitcoin, obviously, we're Bitcoin Park, a ton of people pay with Strike. And let's say you're an artist in Nashville on Broadway, right? And you usually have your Venmo QR code and you have your Cash App QR code and you're trying to collect your digital tips because unfortunately very few people use cash now. And you put a Bolt 12 up and the overwhelming majority of people are trying to pay with Strike and it fails. That's horrible UX and that's going to be horrible for adoption, and you're going to take the QR code down and you're never going to use it again. So because Strike is so heavily used as a payment wallet, regardless of people's ideological beliefs, it is one of the most dominant payment wallets that I see in America, period. It is incredibly important that they support the new standards in terms of receiving, so that when people try and pay, it fucking works.
Yeah. So this is a great first step. I mean, you shouted out Strike, Spiral, the LDK team. Shout out specifically to Carla Kirk Cohen, who worked on LNDK, which is a kit that basically allows the LND API to communicate with LDK as well. And go read the blog post, because the Strike team really did a lot of work. Like, they actually forked an older version of LND and incorporated a lot of the Bolt 12 stuff, and then showed the LND team like, hey, we can do this now. Here is what a company like us would need in the implementation details if you're going to do this. And in the blog post, they said that LND actually took that feedback and implemented it into LND. And so, like, it was cross-collaboration, Strike, Spiral, LNDK, LND, pushing this forward. And that's what it takes. I think Steve Lee, during the Bitcoin takeover this year, he made this point during his presentation, which is, yes, these open source projects like LDK, BDK, LND exist, but they'd really get a lot of value in collaborating with companies that are actually using the software. And so, like, the best feedback they can get is from companies actually implementing these protocols and serving a user base that needs certain things. And so if you're a company out there building, like, be like Strike and reach out and try to collaborate. It's going to make a lot of these things get to market much quicker. So don't be afraid to do that.
Be the change you want to see in the world.
Exactly. Next up, we got the Human Rights Foundation story of the week, which is coming out of Tanzania, which blocks X amid political repression. It's continuing. It's not only Brazil. Tanzania is doing it as well. I was unaware of this. Tanzania's government is cracking down on political dissent by blocking access to X, as reported by HRF grantee NetBlocks, an organization dedicated to monitoring internet freedom worldwide. According to NetBlocks, the incident comes as the police force issues an alert over alleged opposition party plans to raid police stations where political prisoners might be held. Tanzania has witnessed an unprecedented crackdown from security forces, who have detained hundreds of opposition party members, including the chairman of the Chadema party, Freeman Mbowe, and his deputy, Tundu Lissu. Other prominent critics, including Dusdeath Soka and Dianas Kipanya disappeared, while Shadrach Cholua, a TikToker critical of President Samia Suluhu Hassan, remains missing. These actions undermine democratic processes and escalate the government's efforts to stifle dissent and control information. Not well versed on Tanzanian naming conventions, but I did my best there.
I think you nailed it, Marty. But I have no idea, how it's pronounced either. I gave you a tough one there on that. But the trend continues, right? Which is, like, censorship attempts are gonna increase. I think we've been on top of this for years. It's gonna get worse. It's gonna get worse before it gets better, and it's important that we prepare accordingly, because it's much more difficult being responsive and reactive rather than being proactive here. Like, it's important that we build out these systems ahead of time.
Yeah. You never want to be on the defensive, be on the offensive, like Matt said earlier, and many times throughout the years, freedoms aren't granted, they're taken and defended. And the government's trying to take your freedoms. Are you going to let them, or are you going to take them for yourself? It's not only here in America, it's in Brazil, Tanzania, the UK, Ireland. You see, what's his name? Conor McGregor. He's going to run for president of Ireland. We're going to get a strong man. President of Ireland.
I support it. I think we should have The Rock run in the United States.
There was rumors that he was at one point.
I would support his candidacy.
All right. That was the HRF section of the week. If you want to get updated on human rights violations and stories around the world, go to financialfreedomreport.org and sign up for the weekly newsletter. And now we have the top four boosts from last week's episode.
Before we go to the boost, can I just do a Noster call to action real quick? I know I don't do enough of them.
Yeah, go ahead.
Marty, what's your favorite Noster app?
Primal.
Okay, so Primal's a Noster app. Just go to the App Store and download it. It's a great way to get started on Noster. Domus is really great on iOS. Amethyst is really great on Android. Start with any of those three, and then don't stop there. There are like 45 different apps that you can just take your private key and move over, and you can use all the different apps. Just play around with them. Just get comfortable with it. Provide feedback. Shitpost.
I've got feedback for Abla and Highlighter. I think I may have given it last week, but I'll give it again. You need to fix the publishing experience.
We're working on it. Everything's in progress.
It adds like 20 minutes to my bent posting process. Nothing scarcer than time, not even Bitcoin. Can you shut your dogs up over there?
They're securing the perimeter. They love Noster.
Freaks, if you have been reading the long-form content on Noster, let me know what you think, how it's presented. It's simple things. Like, it's like links, embedded images. Doesn't copy-paste over well. You should just be able to read like the HTML where I'm copying it from and just embed the link. It's simple HTML. It should be pretty easy.
We'll fix that, but then also, like, in the future, like, I think it's just going to be, you put, like, Noster is the source of truth. Everything else gets copied from Noster, but it will take time.
Yeah, it feels like I'm back on MySpace. Like, you need to do, like, the...
We're making progress.
Dash, source, SRC.
We're making progress.
I don't have time for that weird robot.
Freedom isn't free. It takes hard work and effort. What's going on here, Logan?
Whoa. This is no bestiality on the show. Don't zoom in on that dog's ass. Come on.
Logan's just giving dog. Do you want me to leave? Do you just want to talk to the dog?
Logan, you just threw me off. Zooming into a dog's pink eye.
Glad that you're comfortable enough with me and Marty now that you just take executive action like that. I'm proud of that aspect.
I don't know whether to be proud or disappointed. You sicko.
I mean, the whole Noster chat wants me to move out of the way.
Is that your pup in the middle?
Yeah, that's the youngest one.
Yeah.
He's huge. Shit,
he got huge.
He's fucking massive. And the one next to him is the oldest one. It's 12 years old and 8 months.
Yeah, that thing got massive.
I love dogs. Dogs are the best.
I do too.
Dogs and children. We're going for parity. I got three dogs. We're going for three kids.
There we go. Number go up. Top four boosts from Rabbit Hole Recap, 320. Live Free, Plebeianon, 50,000, 5 sats, palindrome boost. Nashville show was legendary. Appreciate the dedication to the Cal Ripken streak despite all your conference appearances. Hope to see you guys at Chicago BitDev someday soon. Stay humble. Stack sats. We're going to win. Yes, we are, Plebeianon. It's a pleasure to meet you at the live show in Nashville. Thank you for your continued support, and I don't think we can say it anymore. We just had to do it. We've been saying we're going to get to Chicago BitDevs for like 5 years now.
We'll make it happen. We brought great shame to our family. I'll bring the dog.
At Eric99, 50,000 sats. Stay humble, stack sats.
Great advice. Appreciate you, Eric.
At Keith Sharp, 33,333 sats. Threes across the board. Palindrome boost. PAL. Stay humble and stack sats. Only 7 weeks. I don't know what PAL is. PAL.
PAL. I don't know. Chat, if you know what that stands for, let us know.
Only 7 weeks remain until TabConf, the Atlanta Bitcoin Conference, October 23rd to 26th. TabConf.com, a technical Bitcoin conference that is pleb-friendly. When the shit goes over your head, you still receive a great sense of comfort that really smart people are building, collaborating, and contributing. I can co-sign that message from Keith Sharp. Thank you for the boost. I started attending New York BitDevs in January of 2015. Had no idea what people were talking about for like the first year and a half. If you just go to these technical events and you watch the developers and the smart people have conversations about what's going on within the network via a process of osmosis over many years in meetups, you will begin to better understand what's going on. You won't become an expert. I certainly will not pretend to be one, but I do think going to these events, hearing developers talk, and learning via osmosis has been fundamental and beneficial to my understanding of Bitcoin over the years.
I still strongly believe that is not a good bit devs if you don't understand.
If you do understand everything.
Yeah, you should not understand at least 50% of what's being discussed. I definitely in Natch BitDevs, I push us to go way beyond my understanding, because that's what I appreciate the most about BitDevs is just going deep on the topics. And I think a recipe for success in general in life is to surround yourself with people smarter than you. You don't want to be the smartest person in the room.
And if you go to BitDevs, you're certainly not going to be.
You want to be the dumbest person in the room. Like, your goal in life should always be the dumbest person in the room. And occasionally you'll have to deal with the fact that you're not, but that should be the goal.
Luckily for me, I'm in a room with Logan right now, so I'm good. Very smart. And technically you're in the room too. On a screen in front of me. Last boost from last week's episode from Ape Mithrandir, 7,777 sats, sevens across the board. Palindrome boost. Ignored Odell Schilling Noster for the longest time. Now with the latest fountain update, get onto Noster for minimal effort. I'm going to boost, or I'm going to zap that. Ape Mithrandir just zapped you live on air. You've almost made your full boost back in zaps.
Yeah, I mean, we went deep on the fountain integration, but incredibly, incredibly awesome.
Well, we'll go a little deeper here because Oscar did point this out. This is something I didn't even realize. I thought it was just looking in the chat. I thought they were just going to be able to like surface people sharing fountain links, but on Primal or just on Noster generally, I don't know which client he sent it from. That's not the one.
You might
that's
have sent it directly from Fountain.
He might have sent it directly from Fountain. Here it is, Logan.
Because Fountain's a Noster client now.
He saw JB55, or JB55 shared an Apple podcast episode that he'd listened to on Noster, and Will shared the podcast link. He missed it in his main Noster feed, but he saw it on Fountain. Even though it was an Apple podcasting link, the Fountain Index was able to transcribe that and find the episode within the Fountain Index. And because of open podcasting, even though it was an Apple podcast link, Fountain can find the episode, show me the playable content card, and let me queue it up and download it. So
that's so fucking cool.
Yeah.
Imagine sleeping on that. Couldn't be me. You're still looking for Barker?
He's actually asleep at his desk right now. He's sleeping.
Is he going to join?
I'm kidding. I told him he could. I don't know if he wants to, though. I don't know if he would.
Dude, my only question for him is he going to pretend like he isn't reading all the Noster posts about this? Because he's a Noster. You know he owes me 1,000,000 sats, right?
Is he using it?
I mean, if he's reading the posts, he's using it. Does he use Fountain?
No, he doesn't. I actually asked him that. He said he doesn't use it. Shame. Shame.
Why? Just to prove a point?
He's stuck in his ways, okay? He's a man, if you know Parker well, he's a man of routine.
Yeah, I'm not angry, I'm disappointed. Okay. That's all.
Those were the top four boosts from last week's episode. Thank you guys for boosting. Thank you guys for participating in the live chat. Do you want to read some of the top zaps from the live stream, or are you too far away from
it? It goes a long way. You can read them.
Shout out to Average Gary.
They love the dogs.
Shout out to Average Gary, Carlos, Hoddle, Weird Robot. Who else we got here? McCoy, Seth. Weird Robot again.
Look at Logan. He's getting so good at this. On the fly, he's got the dogs label. Do you see this, Marty?
Shout out to Paulie for the 21,000 sat boost, biggest of the episode so far. And Seth, cumulatively has zapped us 11,000 sats. Thank you for participating in the live chat. I'm gonna give my. That's not a dog on the right. That's a fence post. All right, back to the list. Software updates. Core Lightning version 24.08 has been released. Steel backed up channels. First time I'm hearing this phrase. Release brings notable improvements to Offers Pay and the experimental Rene Pay plugin, who I assume is named after Rene Picard.
It's got to be, right?
Yeah. So Bolt 12 offers are now support self-payments and blinded pass. The pay plugin has enhanced capacity checks, error handling, and logging. Rene Pay plugin updates include a probability cost function exclude option for better routing control. So more progress on the Bolt 12 adoption front there from Core Lightning. Shout out to the Core Lightning team for getting that out there. Oh, God damn it, Matt. We had to go to Signal for this. I had to open up every time I go back to the app. Albi Hub version 1.7.2 has been released, the friends and family app. So Albi Hub is an open source tool that enables users to run their own node and connect to Bitcoin apps. It features one-click Lightning node installation, a self-custodial wallet, and an app store for seamless integration of social media, podcasting 2.0 apps, and external Lightning wallets via Noster Wallet Connect. Shout out to the Albi team.
I think this is really cool. I haven't tested it out yet, but I dig it. I like the direction they're going in.
I do too. It's great meeting Boomy and Enriga as well. Next up, Blixt Wallet version 7.0.0 has been released with new syncing nodes, stability improvements, and more. Breeze SDK Liquid version 0.3.
Wait. Blix doesn't get enough love. I'm guilty of it. It's a powerhouse of a wallet. Go check it out. Give it a spin. Okay, Marty, you can continue.
Continuing on with Breeze SDK Liquid version 0.3.0, LNURL Pay support, Go and C Sharp bindings, and more. Seems important. Geyser version 0.12.0 has been released with a major UX redesign. Let's go check that out if you're using Geyser to crowdfund your project or passion.
I fucking love Geyser.
It's a sexy product. It was already sexy before the redesign.
They integrated Nostr significantly too. I think Nostr makes it even more powerful. It's one of those things that it's like a little bit of victim of timing. But I think if they keep pushing forward, it's going to be, you know, just one of the real powerhouse Bitcoin and Nostr apps. So, just huge shout out to their team. I really appreciate that it exists. And I think it fills a real need. Just a lot of people haven't realized it yet. I mean, to those that are not aware, you can kind of think of it as like the Kickstarter or Patreon of Bitcoin. Support projects that you love, do it in a social way. And the new UX is fantastic.
Shout out to the Geyser team. Last but not least, on the software update section of the show, I can't speak. Nostrudel version 0.40.0 has been released with encrypted NSEC, Blossom uploads, Wasm relay, blind spot feeds, and more. Blind spot feeds, that sounds cool.
Yeah, Nostrudel is also one of the heavyweight Nostr clients. People should check it out. And I think people are really sleeping on the combination of Blossom and Nostr. So Blossom lets you do...
It's like an IPFS competitor.
Yeah, I mean, IPFS is overcomplicated. And like, so is every other attempt at what Nostr is trying to solve. And that's why Blossom's amazing, just in its simplicity. Like this idea that it just guarantees you integrity of the file. And who authored it from key signing and hashing. So you combine those two things together, you combine them with Nostr, and you end up in a situation where we could see basically like WikiLeaks 2.0, where instead of just a single central repository, you'll have like NIMS with reputation and verifiable reputation, being able to post things that you're able to check the integrity of. And I think like as censorship increases, there's going to become more and more a need for this stuff. And we do very much already live in a post-truth world, like what is real and what is not. I think WikiLeaks probably takes it to the extreme in terms of censorship resistance and robustness about what you need. But a perfect example with Blossom is Rabbit Hole Recap. So right now, Rabbit Hole Recap, we post everything using a Blossom compatible implementation through Satellite Earth media hosting. So we publish it from the RHR key. RHR signs it. It's a hashed file. It's compatible with the Blossom spec. You know it's real and RHR hasn't been changed to like shill Solana or the WEF or something. So you know it hasn't been deep faked. And then if for some reason we have an episode that is like particularly spicy. And the internet overlords try and take it down, you're able to basically go out and find someone else who's hosting the same exact file, the same exact RHR, and know that it hasn't been changed and that it's the exact file that you're looking for, which is just fucking massive. Like you can scream that from the rooftops and people won't realize how important that is.
You could climb that mountain behind you and get it out there.
And scream it. And people still won't realize how important that is. It's incredibly important. These are the foundational building blocks to like the next generation of the free and open internet. And just proud to be a part, small part of it.
It's me all balled up. It is crazy to think about like the profound nature of having the ability to do that. And we've been talking about it for years, deepfakes. Prepare for the deepfakes. Like, you may not want to adopt Noster, but you're going to have to at some point if you're going to try to evade all this. You have to sign a key with a file.
Same with Bitcoin.
Yeah. You get Noster at the price you deserve. Is that what it's going to take to get Parker on as a deepfake of him saying how much he loves Jerome Powell in quantitative easing? Like, maybe.
Hopefully not. Hopefully this is just momentarily a thing. You know me. I like to be provocative, right? Like, I recently posted on the Seattle Dispatch feed my fireside with Pablo. Everyone should go listen to it. It's very short. It's like 16 minutes. It was a great discussion. But one of the things I talk about is that, you know, like the Bitcoin influencers will mostly be the last ones to adopt Noster. And that's fine. They can be laggards. But the ride or dies are adopting it. And what we're seeing is very similar to what we saw in Bitcoin, which is like people are digging their heels in. They're having like Noster derangement syndrome, like just like Bitcoin derangement syndrome. Like, you say you don't like Bitcoin when Bitcoin's $150 and then Bitcoin's $15,000 or $30,000 or $40,000 or $50,000, and you refuse to just admit you are wrong. And I would just rather we just skip that step. Just embrace.
I would too. I've embraced. I'm not an influencer, though. Don't ever call me an influencer. Please, anybody out there.
Are you okay?
I think so. I think so. Logan's actually got a gun pointed at me behind the camera right now. He did not like my comment from earlier. About the dog's pink eye. What were you doing, Logan? That was a little messed up, bro. I know we've been ragging on Parker a lot. He'll come around. But props are due. Me, him, and Tur. We haven't chatted about it in person yet. In messaging, we have. But pull up the tweet that I put in there. Macro talk to end it. But this is a pull up Tur's tweet first and then go back. But this is a stock price chart of Walgreens. Woefully in debt and unprofitable and in danger of going under. So Walgreens has a $7 billion market cap right now, very little cash, $34 billion in debt. And Tur saying he's sure many companies look like this under the hood. Wrongly assumed debt would be cheap forever. And so Walgreens, which is for anybody who is not in the United States and is unaware what Walgreens is, it is a staple pharmacy / corner store here in the United States, many locations around the country, one less than a quarter mile from my house. They seem to be going under. And then go back to the quote tweet. I think Parker actually does make a pretty prescient economic analysis here. After increasing interest rates, the Fed is going to have to flood the market with dollars and bail out borrowers like Walgreens and their lenders. If a company like this fails, it will accelerate hyperinflation. Goods become more scarce while dollars become more abundant. Catch 22. So Walgreens, it's like I mentioned, a staple. People go to get their, if they have to pick up medicine, they go to the pharmacy, and if they just need to get goods like toilet paper.
I was just like, Walgreens is a fucking shithole business.
Well, it's a shithole business. Like post COVID, like with the laws that were just like, you can steal anything less than $900. They all got raided. So,
I mean, we all use Walgreens because we have no better option. Like, when was the last time you went into a Walgreens and you're like, oh, this is such a positive, uplifting
experience? I hate going in. Oh, Dude, I actually have a tweet. Let me find the tweet.
Like, I was just in a Walgreens 2 days ago. Like, I needed something from Walgreens, but it's not like I walked in and just like, really, like, I just don't like being in those stores. They're just not.
Here's my famous Walgreens tweet from October of last year, almost a year ago. Nothing more late stage fiat than walking through an empty Walgreens on a Saturday night and being blasted with a commercial about Narcan and why it's important to be prepared for the opioid overdose in your life. It is like Walgreens is peak late stage personified. It like really freaked me out. I vividly remember the flashback now. Like around Halloween last year, I think one of the boys was sick, so I had to go get them like Pedialyte or something. And it's like Saturday night at 10 and I'm walking in Walgreens alone. And it's just like a Narcan commercial. Like somebody in your life's going to have an opioid overdose. You need Narcan. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah. It's the reason we named this episode Fear, Uncertainty, and Doubt has absolutely nothing to do with Bitcoin and has everything to do with just the global economy and like where we stand as a global society.
And yeah, you had some bearish thoughts earlier this week. Do you want to share them or are they for private?
One of the things that I learned from COVID was that most like markets aren't efficient and most people, like most capital allocators, are just fucking retarded. So it just takes a while for people to come to grips with things. And it does feel like over the last few weeks, like people are like, holy shit.
It's bad.
Like everything is garbage.
It's bad. You know?
And like we've been talking about it for years, but it does feel like it feels a little bit like an inflection point. We'll see what happens. But I mean, right now, like if you look at the non-Bitcoin world, it's just full fear, uncertainty, and doubt. And I would just encourage these people to read Mandibles. Because it's going to be Mandibles in the Bitcoin standard.
Yeah, it's bad. Great Awakening is upon us, and it's not the awakening that people thought it was going to be. It's like, holy shit. What is going on here?
Kieran's saying that I'm shaking. It's quite cold out here.
Is it quite cold?
I should have wore a sweatshirt. That's on me.
Are you okay, Matt?
No, I'm
Thank
okay.
you, Kieran. Yeah. Thank you, Kieran, for balancing out the worry for the host of the show.
Kieran, thanks for building Zapstream. I hope someone doesn't ban it.
Don't worry, Kieran. Kieran, I did my first Zapstream for TFTC. I only live stream one episode a quarter with Matthew Mazinkius. I got to figure out how to get the TFTC key onto the browser. My magic link.
It's cold because I'm not in North Carolina. The freaks are like, why is it cold in North Carolina right now? I mean, you guys just guessed North Carolina. I'm not going to say where I am now.
He's in Argentina.
I'll say next week when I'm somewhere else, I'll say where I was this week.
Okay. All right. Are you that cold? Should we wrap up? Quick rip?
I mean, we should wrap because I have to get back to the fam, not because I'm cold. I can handle a little bit of cold. It keeps you on your toes.
It does, unless you get too cold and then your toes they get hypothermia and you can't
move. Then you get hypothermia, yeah. It's like bad. The step above hypothermia is good for you.
Yeah. All right. You go to your family. Go to your family. Go enjoy your family. Go enjoy your night. I'm going to do the same. And we'll be back next week, freaks.
Much love, freaks. Much love, Marty. Stay humble, stack sets.
Peace and love.